Good evening. If you can turn back in your Bibles for me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 15 to 23. We're going to read it again in a moment. But before we do, I'd just like to pray. So let's just bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you so much that you've blessed us with another day. Thank you so much that we can be found here in your house with your people. Lord, I thank you that we can sing your praise. But Lord, I pray right now that you would help me to expound this passage. Lord, that you would use me. Lord, it would be nothing of me, but it would be all of you. And Lord, I pray that for those who are hearing, Lord, they would be challenged. I would be challenged by what you would have to say to us this evening. As I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, so we're continuing in our series, the Sermon on the Mount, Life as It Was Meant to Be Lived. And we're going to continue looking at life as it should be lived. And we now find ourselves in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 23. So can we just let's read it again together? It says this: "Beware of false prophets, who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from a thorn bush, or figs from thistles? Eat every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" So tonight we're going to split our time into two, not three. Not all going to be starting with the same letter. We're just going to have two headings. The first heading that I want to use tonight is the real deal. What is the real deal? The real deal for this passage. What does the real deal mean to you, and what does it mean to me? When I was preparing for this sermon, it struck me the amount of counterfeit or false stuff that's in the world today. And just as an example, I thought I'd do a little test. So hopefully, brilliant. Now you can see there on the screen behind me, I can see it at the back there. You're now looking at the Rolex Submariner Smurf 18 karat gold gents watch, which you can buy online for, any guesses? 7,000? Any more on 7,000? Dave? 14? Any more on 14? One more guess.
9.5.
Well, actually, you're all miles out. To buy that Rolex watch, it would cost you £27,150. Now, on the screen, there's two watches. One's a fake, and one's real. So, another little test. Hands up if you think the one on my right, your left, is the real one. If you think the one on my right, your left, is the real one. Not many. Okay, hands up if you think the one on my left, your right, is the real one. About the same. Hands up if you don't know. Pretty much. Everyone. Okay. Well, to put you out of your misery, The one on my right, your left, is the real one. Okay? It's so difficult to spot the fake. Both set at the same time, both got all the same kind of dials and stuff like that. But one's a fake, and one is the real deal. So I just wanted to give you an idea of where I was trying to go with this tonight. Rolex watches, and I'm not going to, it's not a plug, no one's got one here, I don't guess anyway, especially that one. Rolex watches are worn by the rich, the famous, film stars, Brad Pitt, royalty wear them, James Bond's been seen wearing them in various films. But one's a fake, and one's real. One's 100 quid, one's £27,000. But my point here is you can literally get anything fake. You can get fake perfume, you can get fake training shoes, you can get fake T-shirts, you can get fake jewellery, you can even get a fake ID or a fake passport if you so wish. So based on that idea, I want us to look at fake in the Bible. What it says here, beware of false, fake prophets. Now, when I first became a Christian many years ago, there was a song out. I don't guess anyone will know what it is, so I'm not going to tell you. It doesn't really matter. But the start of the song came out with a quote. The quote was by a guy named Brennan Manning. And it stuck with me all through my Christian life. It's not a biblical quote, but it's a Christian quote. And this is what he said. You may know it. The greatest single cause of atheism in our world today is Christians. I'm going to say that again. The greatest single cause of atheism in our world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. That's what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. Fake watches, fake perfume, fake anything, fake Christians. Now that's a challenge in and of itself, isn't it? Do we acknowledge Jesus with our lips because we've all just done it? And do we walk out the door and deny him by our lifestyle? What did Jesus say about the lukewarm church in Laodicea? Revelation 3, 14, 22, he says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So Jesus doesn't pull any punches, does he, about being fake, lukewarm, or indifferent? So I ask myself the question, and I ask you the question, is the gospel that's being preached in some churches today, and I don't mean this one, but in some churches today, are false, watered down, very liberal, wishy-washy type of Christianity? The Bible makes it plainly clear in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets. So now we find ourselves with this really stark and strong fact. In fact, it's a frightening message, isn't it? Beware of false prophets. For all those prophets, as we read in verse 23, Jesus will say to them and their followers, depart from me, for I never knew you. So what is a false prophet? They're all around, even today. Hands up if you remember the Terry Wogan show back in 1990-odd. I know some of you weren't born then, but Terry Wogan had a talk show back in the 90s, probably went into the noughties, etc. But Terry Wogan, one particular night, on primetime TV, used to get 10, 12 million viewers every night, had a guest on. The guest's name was a guy called David Icke. Anybody remember him? He's still around. Now, David Icke was a sports commentator on the BBC and a really good one. Very popular, very Easy on the eye, I suppose, if you're a woman. Just a nice guy. Seemed okay. But he was a commentator on the BBC, but he was also a spokesman for the Green Party. And apparently in 1990, a psychic told him that he'd been placed on Earth for a purpose and he would begin to receive messages from the spirit world. The following year, he announced to the world that he was a son of God. Now, as outrageous as that sounds, he was deadly serious. And here he is on the Terry Wogan Show telling everybody that he's the son or a son of God. Now, David Icke still packs out halls, auditoriums. He's followed by thousands. Thousands follow him on Twitter and Facebook, etc. He's written 5 books. He's worth over £10 million. Now, his claim to be the son of God is as outrageous as it sounds. But people are still listening. People are still following. People are still buying his books and listening to what he has to say. And his slant and take on life is weird. But he's out there. There's one. You may have even seen on the TV last night, a guru in India has been arrested on rape charges. He's followed by millions. He speaks in the name of God. And yet here we have this guy, followed by millions, spouting out false heresy. He even asks some of his followers to get castrated so they can get closer to God. Strange. And this is now. What other false prophets are there out there? You only have to turn the TV on to find more and more false prophets. Turn some of the God channels on if you have them. I'm not saying it's all bad. But if you buy this bottle of oil in the name of Jesus, you'll be okay. If you buy this water in the name of Jesus, you'll be okay. If you buy this green hanky in the name of Jesus, you will be fine. And the prosperity gospel rumbles and rumbles on. You give more, more, more. And you'll get more, more, more. And I'll get richer, richer, richer. In the name of Jesus. So it's out there. We can't get away from false prophets. So we have to be wise. Really, really wise. In what we do, in what we listen to, in what we read, in what we get involved in. Now, I want to back up what I'm saying here, not because it's what I'm saying. I want to back it up with Scripture. So if you've got a Bible in your hand, it's going to come up on the overhead as well. So if you haven't, don't worry. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6 to 14. It says this. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light. Walk as children of light. And we're going to come to this in a moment. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of these things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awaken, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 to 31. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to take care of the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. We've just taken communion. Which he obtained with his own blood. And then it says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things. to draw you away, sorry, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night and day to admonish everyone with tears. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, opens up. But false prophets also arose among you, just as there were false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them. Bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, that they will exploit you with false words, their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. And finally, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. But this you know, that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. So that backs up what we're looking at. False prophets. People from within will twist the words. They'll deny the master. That's unbelievable, but that's the case. And Jesus is reminding us here, beware. You know, Satan's greatest ambassadors are not politicians, power brokers, or despots. They're so-called ministers who peddle a watered-down liberal slant on true biblical Christianity. That is what we're here for, isn't it? True biblical Christianity. Not a watered-down, liberal, wishy-washy type of Christianity. Another classic story in the Bible is found in Acts chapter 13, verses 4 to 12. I'll just paraphrase this one for you. Those of you who know your Bibles will remember that Saul and Barnabas find themselves in Cyprus. They've been going around the synagogues. They've been summoned to the proconsul of Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, the Bible says, who summons them. But as they get there, they're met by a magician who goes by the name of Elymas Bar Jesus. Now, Elymas is completely and utterly opposed to what Saul and Barnabas have got to say and tells them so. Saul, also known as Paul, rebukes him big time. He turns to him and says, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy. Will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord?" Imagine being called a son of the devil. Imagine being called an enemy of all righteousness. Because this guy, Elymas, a Jewish false prophet, I hasten to add, is what it says in the verses, a Jewish false prophet named Bar Jesus, opposes the gospel and is rebuked big time. It makes you think that we really do need to be on our guard at all times. We really do need to put on the whole armour of God at all times. We really do need to be ready at all times for false prophets. But these verses also remind us of good and bad fruit. In verse 16 to 19, Jesus instructs his disciples, doesn't he? He tells them, he says this, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but a diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. If you had an apple tree at home, or a pear tree, or a cherry tree, or whatever it was, and every year you had an amazing crop of whatever fruit it was, then you'd cultivate that tree, you'd look after that tree, you'd care for that tree, and people would benefit from it. But if you had a tree, that every year, if it was an apple tree, it was full of maggots, it was full of mould and mildew, then chances are you'd probably cut it down and maybe even burn the wood from it, because it's of absolutely no use. And Jesus makes it unbelievably clear here when he says a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. What kind of fruit are we bearing? Are we bearing any? Are we a barren fig tree? Are we doing anything? This challenges to me, as well as everybody else. Let's remember what says in John chapter 15, verses 1 to 5. When Jesus talks about being the true vine, and my Father the vine dresser, every branch in me that does not bear fruit is pruned and taken away. Every branch that is in me that does not bear fruit is pruned and taken away. We are the branches. That's what we are. Is there any fruit on our branches? Has there been any fruit on our branches? What kind of fruit are you and I cultivating when we walk out the door? There are many, many more examples of good and bad fruit. There's many, many more examples of false prophets that we could look at. The last one I'm going to just remind us all of is in Acts chapter 19, the seven sons of Sceva. These seven sons of Sceva were going around doing exorcisms. They thought they had some kind of mighty power, that they would go in, they would do whatever, say whatever over people to try and remove evil spirits. They see Paul going around doing amazing things, doing amazing miracles, in fact, casting out demons. Paul's doing it in the name of Jesus. They decide, well, that sounds good. That's an extra bit of power. Let's use that phrase. So they go into this particular house one day to cast out a spirit. And at the end of it, they say, and in the name of Jesus, the spirit turns to them and says, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? The spirit attack these seven sons of Sceva and drive them out naked, the Bible says. That's scary. We have to beware of what we're saying, what we're doing, what we're listening to, what we're getting involved in, and what fruit we're bearing. Well, that takes us on to our second point. We've looked at the real deal, whether it's false, whether it's fake, whether it's bearing any good fruit, or whether it's bearing any bad fruit, or whether it's bearing any fruit at all. And we're looking now at the real consequences. The consequences for the way that we live. In verse 21, it says this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does my Father's will. Are we doing the Father's will? Because the Bible says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, false prophets may be able to kid people into following them. But ultimately, you can't kid Jesus. He makes that plain in these verses with the final sentence at the end, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So not everyone's going to enter the kingdom of heaven who calls out the name Lord, Lord. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Here we find people calling out to the Lord. Did we not prophesy in your name? The sons of Sceva did. And got chased. Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty works in your name? Mighty works, TV evangelists, etc., etc. In the name of Jesus. They're not interested. Absolutely not interested. But they will call on the name of Jesus for their own gain. The word works is used here, isn't it? It says this. And do many, here we go. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Now notice here they use the phrase mighty works. You can spot the fact that they're phonies now. Because it's all about works. It's all about working up. It's all about doing stuff. It's not about Jesus. None of it is about Jesus. You and I know what it means to be a Christian, I hope. It's having a faith, a real, real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a blind faith, not something that you were brought up with, but a real faith. Not a counterfeit, not a fake, but a real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not about works, it's about Him. So do you think every true Christian, saved by faith, would give good works as a defense on why he or she should gain entrance into the kingdom of heaven? Because Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Men and women are known by their fruit. Christian men and women are known by their fruit and by the changes in their life. Is there any evidence of fruit in your life? Is there any evidence of fruit in my life? Am I living different? Any different since Jesus came into my life? Are you living any different to when before Jesus came into your life? Is the sin you once loved now the sin you hate? Titus chapter 1 verse 16 says this. They profess to know God, but they deny Him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for any good work. Now that's a powerful reminder, isn't it? See, that's what I love about Scripture. It doesn't pull any punches. It gets straight to the point. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for any good work. So in summary, are you professing to know Christ with your lips, but denying Him by your lifestyle? It's a challenge to me, and it's a challenge to you. There is only one way to be saved. So we've looked at a number of different religions. I actually forgot to mention before, there's over 4,000 other cults, religions, sects, etc. The five main religions are Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, atheism, and New Age. There's loads of them out there. But my point here is, there is only one way to be saved, and that is by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we celebrated before. That is the only way to be saved. Forget about the 4,000 plus other religions. Forget about the five mainstream religions. There is only one way to be saved, and that is through Christ. There is only one God. That's the triune God that we believe as Christians. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's only one way to live. And that's in Christ alone. Let's stand and sing.